This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
We Buddhists too, we're bringing that fire. Talking real talk, Kentucky's on fire. From bourbon to ball games, we got that flow. On the We Do This Too podcast, yeah, you know. From country roads to the city lights, they bring the heat, man, every night. We do this too, let's make it clear. If you ain't listening, you ain't here.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the We Do This Two Outdoors podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Williamson. I got my homeboy back, Trey Reed, a.k.a. the Dreaded Archer, a.k.a. Mr. Steal Your Girl, a.k.a. He's got a bunch of a.k.a.s, but I got Trey back, man. We're going to chop it up a little bit about Squad Fest that just passed. A little bit of hunting season prep, man, and just whatever Trey got going on right now, man. So, shit, man, how you been living?
Bruh, I've been living good, man. Finally went back to work, you know what I'm saying, after being off on maternity leave for so long. Finally got back to doing my thing. The family's good, baby's getting bigger, and just getting ready for the hunt season, man. I took a long hiatus from shooting my bow. I'm talking about, I think it's probably been like 2-3 months where I hadn't shot my bow at all. And so finally last week picked it up, got it all set up, because I had the Averos and I hadn't had it set up. So finally got all the accessories and stuff put on it and started shooting it. And man, I'm like, bro, I should have been shooting this joker for a long time ago.
I ended up selling my bow, and I'm gonna go pick up my Averos, I think, Friday.
Oh, what kind you get?
I got the Averos, and I got it in I forgot what color it is. It's that greenish. It's like a green, like a hunter green color.
Yeah, like that olive green they got.
Olive green, yeah. So yeah. I'm gonna go pick it up, and then get to shooting, because I ain't been shooting at all. Man, I've been mowing 20 something yards a week and then going to these shows, and I got another show. I got to go to Ducks in 2 weeks in Memphis. So trying to get everything situated. Just got back from Squad Fest like 2 hours ago in Missouri, man. If y'all ain't never been to Squad Fest, y'all need to make a trip to Hazelwood, Missouri and go. Dive Bomb Industries put on a great show. It was hot as hell, but, you know, all the vendors were outside and everything. You know, you could go to Dive Bomb's, you know, big store they just opened up, but met a lot of good people, man. A lot of good people I'm going to have on the podcast. I probably got 15 podcasts lined up, like,
oh, dang.
Just people, man. And shout out to Muller Choke Tubes. I met the owner of Muller, man. Great guy. If you shoot a Retay shotgun, he is a wizard when it comes to these chokes. Like, he can tell you what constriction works, why it works, why it don't work, what constriction you need to be shooting for dove, ducks, teal, like whatever, dude. This man is like a scientist when it comes to these choke tubes, man. And ended up gifting me a couple, man. And you know, I'm gonna be trying them out this season, man. But Jimmy Muller, man, he shout out to him, man. He's an awesome guy. Shout out to Dive Bomb, shout out to Retay, man. Shout out to Duck Commander, man. I met Bella Robertson's husband, Jacob DeMayo, whatever his name is. Super cool guy, man. And got to chop it up with him for a little bit. And then come to find out, one of the Dive Bomb guys, I can't remember his name, but he played for the Baltimore Orioles for a while. It was like the first team that ever signed him. He was a pitcher for the Orioles, man. And we got to chopping it up about baseball and stuff like that. And just met a lot of good people out there, man. You know, the outdoor industry, man, like you meet a lot of good people. And that's how you make connections, man. You know, I tell people, man, if you're trying to get into this game, like you got to go to some of these trade shows.
Yeah, definitely.
Get your name out there, man. You know, just make connections. You know, you're going to get a bunch of no's, but that one yes, you know, and do whatever they need you to do just to, you know, just show them that you're genuine, you know. Yeah. Don't, you know, everybody wants, you know, get rich quick scheme. Everybody wants to, you know, get in there and have people send them stuff and send them this and send them that. Like, man, I ain't asking for nothing free. Like, I'll put my work in. If you want to send me something, that's cool, but I'm going to show you what I can do and then we'll talk.
Yeah. Bro, you got to show them you can put in some sweat equity.
Yeah, you know? That's it.
And you said it, man, a lot of cats, they just want to walk in, move to the front of the line and be treated like the VIP, and they hadn't put in one bit of work.
None, man. And it's crazy, man, because like I guess the world we live in, man, like everybody wants that notoriety now. They don't want to put the work in. It ain't how the outdoor industry works. You know,
no, bro, this social media game is not easy, you know, and especially if you're trying to be one of those people that like make this your full-time job, it's hard. It's a lot of grinding, man. Like, and you can do a whole lot of work and the return is not going to be what you expect it to be.
Not at all.
And I think people are getting into it with that mindset and then they figure out very, very fast that it's not all rainbows and butterflies. And then, like, you know, a lot of people, they working for these companies for free. Like, you're doing that. Why would I sponsor you if I already see that you like and share all my stuff? You shoot all my stuff. So what's the point of me start paying you for something you're already doing?
Exactly, man. And then people just don't understand that part, man. It drives me nuts. Like I met two guys at the booth this weekend, man. You know, they come up to me, didn't want to know nothing about the Retay shotguns. They wanted to know how I got started. I was like, okay, let's have a conversation. So I kind of stepped out back for a second. We got to talking. He's like, man, I'm trying to do something now. I was like, man, I said, I've been in the game about 3 years with this podcasting and, you know, my brand and everything. And I said, I'm still not where I want to be. I said, but I've met some good people along the way that believed in what I was doing. And I said, that's why I'm here at the Retay booth now. You know, I said, it takes a while. He said, man, I've been at every booth over here, man. Nobody seems like they want to take a chance on me. And I said, man, what are you offering? I said, that's the thing. I said, you know, you've got to, you know, offer something. He said, well, he's like, I'm not wanting to put in a lot of work with some of these people. You know, I just want them to believe in me and just start sending me stuff. I said, bro, that ain't how this works.
No, man, it's a two-way street. Like, in order for them to start sending you stuff and repping their brand, like, what are you giving out? You know, so right. what's the output?
Yeah, and they just, I was like, man, you know, he was, I think he was from Tennessee. Paris, Tennessee, somewhere in there. And he made like, he started to make like custom game calls and stuff, like turkey calls and stuff like that. And he had some in his bag. He was kind of showing them to me and stuff. I said, bro, you just got to get your name out there on the market. I said, the market for turkey calls, duck calls. I said, it's so saturated. I said, you got to find a way for you and your business to stand out. And I said, that's when you start getting calls. I said, but you know, right now, I said, you're starting off from the ground level. I said, get your website up, you know, get your social media following, get you a social media presence. Just start making videos of you blowing your duck calls or blowing, you know, doing your turkey calls. And I said, somebody will see it. I said, but you're, you know, 2 months in. I said, dude, I said, you might get lucky. Don't. I said, I'm not going to say you're not. I said, but you're going to have to put some work in for these big names to start calling. And he just, you could tell he was just getting frustrated with what I was telling him. I said, man, I'm just telling you the God honest truth, man. Like, it's going to take it's hard to get in the outdoor industry. It's really hard.
Oh, yeah, man. It, like, breaking into the outdoor industry is equivalent to, like, cats trying to get signed with a record company, man.
Yep.
Like, you might have the best product or the best music out there, but if the right person don't hear it,
mm-hmm.
It don't mean that you just another cat with an album or another cat with a product.
Yep.
But like, you know, when you look at the success stories, I mean, you see these guys that, you know, that grinded, man, they got out the mud. Like, dude, just say, for example, this guy that, you know, making duck calls, bro, sometimes you got to take a loss before you can get that big win. Bro, make as many duck calls as you can, put them in your backpack. And when you go into an event like, you know, Bomb Squad, bro, you just giving them jokers out with your card. Hey, man, this is my name. This is my product. Look, I want to give it to you, man. If you use it, great. If you don't, give it to somebody that you think might want it. But if anything, just, you know, give me some feedback on it. Mm-hmm. And, bro, just be handing them things out like hotcakes, bro. Like, you know, I had on gas did back in the day, man, at the gas station. Yep. Bro, if they believe their album so much, bro, they was giving out mixtapes. It's here, 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 here.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you ride around in your car, you don't even pop this thing in. It might be 10 songs on that album, and three might be bangers. And you're like, them no three. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
You know? And next you know, people start listening to it, and next you know, you're famous, or you get a deal. Same thing in the outdoor industry, bro. If you got a product, if you make content, you got to show these companies your value. This is what I bring to your company. Not what your company can do for me, but what can I do for your company? Look, man, my videos go, this is my videos. This is how many followers I got. This is what I do. Boom, 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 boom. All you need is one yes. And like you said, you're going to hear a lot of no's, but you only need one yes. And you Gucci.
That's it, man.
But you got to grind, though. You got to be out there, you know, at these expos, shaking hands, kissing babies. You know, and, you know, get over, you know, the fear of talking to people. You got to get out there and talk, because you never know who you're talking to.
Yep.
And next thing you know, just a friendly gesture. Hey, how you doing? This is my name. Here's my product. And that person might be, you know, one of the biggest cats in the industry and behind closed doors, and they can open up doors for you, make things move. So That's the advice that I give to some of these young cats when they ask me advice. I'm like, bro, you got to get out, you got to talk to people, and you just got to show people your value.
Yep. And I'm used to, you know, growing up where I grew up, man, like, I'm used to grinding. I mean, we wasn't well off, was middle class, but, you know, we grew up on a farm, man. And, you know, if I wanted something, pops ain't just going to go out there and, you know, get to you. Hey, you get out there in the back field to work. You get out there in the hay field to work. And then I'd make calls around to other farmers. Hey, y'all need anything help? You help with doing anything? And, you know, I just learned at an early age the value of money, man. So I was like, man, if I want something, I got to get out here and grind for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, still do it to this day. You know, I work a full-time job teaching. And then when I ain't teaching, I'm mowing grass. You know, I'm doing landscaping. I'm doing something, you know. But a lot of these kids, I mean, I guess the new generation, man, because that kid that I'm talking about, man, he was probably in his early 20s. You know, they just don't have that same mindset, I guess, that we had growing up. And even the older generation, you know, they were some grinders for real.
Yeah.
But now, man, they just, the social media makes it seem like it's so easy to get in. But I'm like, man, you got to grind. You got to do it.
Oh yeah, it make it seem like it's as easy as, you know, getting the mic, talking into it, and boom, the people gonna come. Like, nah, man, you're gonna have to, like, that first episode is gonna be the most heartbreaking thing you do when you put that podcast out there.
Yeah,
it's gonna you be lucky to get 20 people to listen to it, and that right there will break somebody. Man, I spent all this time editing this podcast and doing this and doing that to get 20 views. It's 20 more than you had before. So now you know your the mark. I gotta get at least 20 views. That's from the very first one. Okay, cool. 20. Now let's go to 40, and start marketing your stuff, putting yourself out there, grinding. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants a quick success, but that's what this generation sees on social media. When they look at these content creators, they never see the rise. And a lot of the podcasters and a lot of the streamers and stuff that these people watch, the creators, they don't talk about the rise. Mm-hmm. They just talk about the success, the pinnacle. This is what I'm doing. They don't tell you about the long nights of, you know, being up late editing and making clips. The sacrifices they had to make. I really want to go on this trip, but I really need this new camera.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna sacrifice the trip and buy the camera.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Success does not come easy. It just doesn't. And that's, I mean, even when it comes to the hunting world, everybody believes that they can go and get the best and newest bow and all the latest gear. And that's going to lead to success and being, you know, success in the field. And that's not the case.
Mm-mm.
You still got to put in that work. No matter what you do, if you want to experience success, work is going to have to be involved in it. I mean, unless you're just balling like that, then you can manufacture success real quick.
Yeah. I just did a podcast, man, called The Grind Before the Glory. You gotta get out there and hustle, gotta get out there and grind, and then glory will come. You just gotta stay consistent. That's the main thing. Consistency is key. And you'll be all right. Just keep grinding and find you some friends, some close friends, man, that won't let you quit.
Yep.
You know, you're going to have that one in the group. Like, man, I don't know why you're doing this and this and this. He ain't your friend. He don't want to see you grow. You know, he wants to see you back in that same hometown that you grew up in on the corner, drinking a 40 or smoking a black outside the gas station. You know, he gonna lose one of his partners if you blow up. But you don't need friends like that. You need friends that, you know, stay positive around you, keep you going, keep you grinding, keep you motivated.
Yep.
The type you need, man.
Not a yes man. You don't want a yes man, but somebody that's like gonna keep it 100 with you.
Yeah, keep it real with you.
They gonna tell you if it's good, and they're gonna tell you if it's bad. Like my homeboy, matter of fact, one of my best friends, shout out to Big Mover. He's a rapper out of Dallas, Texas. And man, since we've been young, he been grinding at it, bro. And He'll send me something and be like, "Hey, bro, what you think?" I'd be like, "That ain't it.
That ain't it.
That ain't it right there." But then he'll send me something and I'd be like, "Hey, bro, keep that's it right here." You know what I'm saying? But if you got a bunch of yes men around you, everything is good.
Yeah.
And they'll have you out here looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
Man, I think that's who's in 21 Savage's clique right now. A bunch of yes men, because I don't know how that man got famous.
But hey, well, I mean, the fans like it. If you find something that the fans like,
there's a lot of them out there, man. I'm like, how in the world did this dude make it? Like, he's going to the studio, mumble some stuff on with a dope beat. Oh man, that's it. That's it. Like, what did you just say?
But that's the
wave, man.
That's the wave. So you got to look at the industry and see what's the wave. You know what I'm saying? Like, what we deem to be, you know, a good hip hop. Some folks might be like, bro, that's weak, bro. Like, for example, like, whenever I listen to like Big Daddy Kane, that shit is weak to me.
That's not to me though.
It is weak. I'm like, bro, that's weak.
That is straight bars. That's straight lyricism, bro.
But like, my pops would tell you that's the best thing smoking.
Lyricism, bro. Big Daddy Kane, the Rakim, the Eric B's, man, you know, the Talib Kweli's of the world, the Mos Def, Lupe, Black Thought, all them guys, man. Like, there's no real lyricism in the world anymore. Like,
but that's not what people like anymore. Like, the majority of hip hop, you got rap and you got hip hop. And I think hip hop, we said it a long time ago, is that hip hop is dead, and hip hop has been dead a long time. Now you got rap, and it's not good rap. It's just, is what the fans like, the vibe to. You got the music goes on the vibe of the kids or the next generation up. And, you know, when we came up, it was all about being at the house party and the beat, and you rocking, you dancing. This new generation, they don't even, they party, but they go to parties to sit on their phone, and ain't nobody dancing, ain't nobody freestyling in the corner. And so the music reflects that. It's lazy music for a lazy group. Just give them something to, with a dope beat and very repetitive.
Yeah, I can't get into it, man. I grew up, you know, like I said, my pops was a big Biggie fan. Like, he loved Heavy D, you know, Eric B, Rakim. And then, like, in his later years, he started getting into Wu-Tang.
Mm.
So I'm like, all right, pops, like, we good. Because everybody in Wu-Tang's cold to me. I don't care. I will die on that hill. Ghostface is the face to me. He's the best in the group. Followed by Method Man, followed by Chef Diamonds, Raekwon.
Yeah, I've never even heard of Chef Diamonds. I don't even know.
Raekwon.
Bro, I don't fool with Wu-Tang, bro. I don't like the music.
That, oh my God. That 36 Chambers, oh my God.
Couldn't name you a song on it.
I know you don't have the song Triumph, though, right? I might have sent it to you.
The only Wu-Tang song I know is Cream.
Yeah, that's what everybody knows. I'm talking about, you got to get on the B-sides of these albums, bro. It'll change your life.
I'm good, bro. If they anything, I'm not a only cat from New York I listen to is 50. Anybody else is garbage, bro.
That's the birthplace of hip-hop.
Yeah, and it's trash, bro. Jay-Z, garbage. Nas, garbage. Biggie, garbage.
That is one way to get canceled off my podcast. It's talking about Jay-Z. Talk about Biggie all you want. You ain't talking about Hov. I'm sorry.
Hov.
No, man, but damn cough I still got, man, but all right, man, we're going to get into it a little bit. So, hunting season, September comes pretty soon. I know in Kentucky, we can't start feeding until August the 1st. You can put mineral out and stuff like that. See what your deer herd looking like, but you can't officially start feeding until August 1st. So when do you start usually prepping for hunting season?
As far as like,
putting out your deer corn, putting out your cameras, and
we saw that back in March.
Yeah,
so like in March, man, we got game cameras up. We putting out feeders, prepping the ground for, you know, to get our food plots and stuff put up, and the only reason why I even start in March is because less snakes I got to worry about. Like, I don't want to be out there doing stuff in the middle of summer when I know snakes is on the move. So March is still kind of cool down here, and I'm able to me and my brother are able to get out there and bushwhack, get deep in the property, and, you know, get cameras up in places that we hadn't been out there, and really come up with a game plan. And then that way, you know, come September, the food plot is flourishing.
Yeah.
You know, and the deer have already kind of got a pattern, and we kind of know what they're doing and stuff like that. So I started in March, just early getting all the stuff in the ground. And then after that is just scouting. I spend the rest of the year just scouting, finding new locations, putting boots on the ground, and just getting my eyes on some of these walking areas and kind of creating a game plan.
I heard that. Yeah, I usually start around, I usually start right after turkey season's over. Because like I said, you can't feed from March to July 31st. And a lot of times in a lot of places here in Kentucky, you turkey hunt the same place you deer hunt. A lot of people still got corn on the ground and all that. You know, you can't bake turkey. So I try to wait till all that corn's out of there, get all that situated and start putting my minerals out, refresh my cameras, take the weed eater out and get as much, you know, grass as I can out of there without it looking crazy, you know, when the deer come out. Hell no, something ain't right, you know. But I'm like you, bro. Like, I got my my snake boots on. You know, always looking on the ground because I was like, man, I done been in some certain situations, man. I've been, you know, 2 feet from a damn rattlesnake before.
Yeah.
Curled up, didn't even see it, you know, until I started weed eater up. And all of a sudden, he moves or starts rattling. I was like, oh, shit, I about got bit, you know.
Yep.
But that's usually when I start. And then, you know, August 1st, I'll put my feeders out. Put the corn in there, and that's when I really start taking inventory of what's really out there. I got two great spots this year. One where I harvested my deer last year. I think me and Holden have finally figured out the corridors they're coming in on both sides of the field is about 25 acres that we hunt. And it's kind of off a cliff, and it goes back into about 1,500 acres that we own some of it. The Amish own one side of it. And so we just try to keep all the deer there. Had a good water source there. So we've been trying to do our due diligence to keep all the deer there, man. Cause I feel like in the next couple of years, we're going to see some big, big deer. Like I killed a 148 and a half, which was the biggest buck that I took to the taxidermist. I actually won their little tournament that they had for that. But I know there's some bigger ones back there.
Yeah.
Like, seen them. You know, they just hadn't came out in that field that we hunt. So, hopefully this year we'll start seeing some bigger ones because I know they're in there. But bad thing is we got the Amish on both sides of us, and they'll shoot anything because they can hunt 24/7. And if you pass something that you kind of leery about, you probably ain't going to see them next year.
Yeah, they gonna put them down.
Put him down, man. Jedediah and Samuel and all them they gonna put a bullet in him, man. So better be, you know, if you pass him, you just might as well say goodbye to him. You probably ain't gonna see him again.
Nah, he gonna be gone. No, man. That's like the walk-in spot here that I hunt. Man, guys will tell you all day. There's no big deer out there, man. You know. You'll be lucky if you see a 120, 125, hell, 130 might be the biggest you'll see. And then I'll go out there. I went out there, and, dude, I'm seeing 145s, 150s, 160s. And I'm like, where are y'all hunting at that y'all not seeing these big deer? And I find out, dude, they don't hunt no more than 10 to, I'd say, I'll say 10 to 50 yards from their truck.
Yep.
They ain't going in. And then I look at myself and, dude, I park on the road and I'm, you know what I'm saying, I'm a mile and a half in the woods. You know, I'm deep in amongst them. So I'm seeing all these deer and all these deer sign. And you know, during the rut last year, I mean, I saw several bucks just chasing doe left and right. And I'm like, man, I found them. How are these other guys not, you know, not seeing these deer? And it's because they, you know, they want the convenience hunt. I want to be able to get out of my truck, you know, at 6:30 and be able to be in my stand by, you know, 6:40. You know, so like you gotta get out there and look. I just don't understand why guys aren't willing to do that.
I'm like it too, though. I ain't gonna lie to you. I park and I walk, and Holden will tell you the same thing. I am not hunting far from my damn truck. And I might be 50 yards, maybe 100 from my truck. And for me, it's not a convenience thing. It's, and people gonna laugh when I say that, it's a safety thing with me.
Okay.
Because like just last week, there were two bears spotted within a mile from my house. And we don't see bears around here, but they were in this dude's food plot. You know, luckily he didn't have anything in his deer feeder because he knocked the deer feeder over, tore it all to hell. Game warden came out there making sure there wasn't no, you know, corn in there. And then another bear was spotted like right down the road from it. And then somehow it made it like 35 to 40 minutes up the road from where my wife grew up and was running around the town up there. So for me, especially if I got my son with me, like it's a safety thing for me. So if something does go down, I'm not, you know, 3 miles from the truck where I'm basically having to walk backwards and try to defend whatever's in front of me from getting me and my son. Like I can just tell my son,
bro, if a bear gonna come out, bro, whether you 50 yards or 50 miles, bro, it's going to be the same thing trying to get back to that truck.
It ain't, because I'm telling you, bro, where I'm parked on this particular farm, if I see a bear, I can get out of my little blind. I can go around this big ass bush and it's a straight shot to my truck. And I've told my son, I said, look, if something goes haywire, I said, don't worry about me. I said, just get to the truck. And I said, take my phone. I said, call mama, call whoever. And I said, I'll make it back somehow. I said, but you get in that truck, lock the door. And when you see me getting it, you know, come, you know, unlock the truck. I said, but you know, something goes haywire. You got your phone. All of that's just, I don't know. I've always been like that. Cause my dad used to scare the hell out of me when like I first started deer hunting. You know, I'd go in and I'm scared to death of the dark anyway, as it is, but I knew back then all the OGs, like, you got to get in there before daylight. I'm like, all right. And our farm that we hunt, the mom's farm, dude, I could tell you all kind of damn stories of just shit just coming up, disappearing and appearing and shit flying across the damn road. And like, it's crazy. So I'd just be sitting in there just praying the whole time until the sun came up. Like, all right, I'm here. Jesus, don't let nothing happen to me.
Yeah.
And I've killed some big deer back here. But dad was like, all right, something gonna be in there waiting on you one of these days and you ain't gonna be able to get out. And then I said, Dad, why would you even say some shit like that? You know? He just, I'm just messing with you. So I mean, every time I got in a deer stand, I'm always looking in there, and it's like your homeboy in that mouse, man. You know, like it's like, I don't know, man, but It's a safety thing to me. And I tell people that, they just like, man, you just big ass scared. I said, bro, there's some shit out there way bigger in the woods, bigger than me. And I said, I ain't whooping no bear. Like,
way bigger and better. I ain't got no time for it.
Mountain lions, shit lost. Nah, man. Like, I think I could whoop a deer. I think I could take a deer, but I ain't taking no bear, no mountain lion. I'm sorry. So it is what it is. Y'all laugh at me all y'all want.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I've come to the realization that which I'm not worried about a bear. My thing would be a stray mountain lion get lost where I'm hunting at now. And I was like, you know what? If I come face to face with it, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm not gonna go out like no punk. But if I can fight it off, I'm gonna try to fight it off. If not, hey man, it went in the cars, man. God's will.
Yeah, you're right. Because it is what it is, man. But what's like, I don't know what it is for me, but like, what's one piece of gear that you got to have before you leave the house? You got to have in that deer stand with you?
That rangefinder, man. Like I've tried to do the whole, you know, mark off my area, know the distance, but I still feel uneasy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, there's a spot that I hunt now, and I know there's a tree that's right in front of me. I know that tree is exactly 20 yards in front of me, and the tree behind it is at, like, 27 yards. And there's a third tree that's got, like, this big hole in it. Well, I hope, like, a knot on it. I know that tree's at 35 yards. So I'm like, okay, if something, I know my distances, but without actually knowing the exact distance when I pull that bow back, man, I'm so uneasy.
Yeah, in the moment.
Yep.
I get that. Yeah, I've got to have my rangefinder out there, and I've got to have my binoculars. If I ain't got my binoculars, I might as well go home, because I end up getting a set of 12 by 50s for Christmas this year, man. And I've always ran 10 bys, which is perfectly fine. But them 12s, man, they just make everything just come to life. But I've got to have my binos. I've got to have that rangefinder out there, because like you said, in the moment, I've got everything marked off. Me and Holden's got damn near everything marked off on that farm. And we used to have tape out there, different colors. Like, all right, blue's 20 yards, pink would be 30, like red would be 35, and then we had like black for like 40. We had everything marked off. But like you said, in the moment, when that deer comes out or the turkey or whatever, like you feel, like you said, real uneasy. Like, I know my distance, but he's kind of in between there. So,
yeah, I know that tree is 20 yards, but he's in front of it. So is it a 17?
Yeah.
17 yard shot, 18, 16, like where am I at? And without me having that exact number, like, yeah, I'll pull the bow back. And I'm like, okay, that's 20. So I know I can just put my 20 pin on it and I'm going to be fine. You know, but it's just like, my shot sequence feels off because I don't know the distance. Because I think it's because I've added my, like, all right, range. I know the distance, dial it in, pull the bow back, and then, well, if I'm not ranging it, now that I'm removing that step out of my draw cycle or my sequence.
Or your sequence.
But now my sequence feels off, and now my brain's like, we don't know the distance.
Yeah, I see that. What's the best purchase that you've ever made for hunting?
Ooh, best purchase, man. Some good boots, bro. Like, I think a lot of people overlook the boots, man.
They do. That's a big thing with me too.
Yeah, a lot of hunters, they think like, well, I'm not backcountry hunting, so I'm not doing a lot of walking, so I can skimp out on my boots. I can be uncomfortable if I'm sitting down. I can be uncomfortable however I'm situated in a tree. If my feet are not comfortable in what I'm wearing, my whole like hunting is ruined.
Yeah.
Like I've been in hunts where like I'm in my saddle and I'm just not like my feet, I have flat feet. So the boots, like boots I had, like made my feet hurt. So I literally just took my boots off and like, well, you know what? I'm just gonna sit up here barefooted. Cause I can get comfortable.
Right.
But yeah. Best purchase, man, is good pair of crispy boots,
man. Best purchase that I've ever made, because my feet, if my feet or my hands get cold, I'm going to the house.
Yeah,
like I'm done. And I had an OG last year tell me before the hunting season, he's like, and this was pre-duck hunting, pre-deer hunting, pre-everything, you know, he said, man, when it starts getting cold, get you a good pair or a couple pair of alpaca socks. I said, what do they do? He said they're warm. He said, but if your feet sweat like mine do, and my feet sweat like crazy, I don't care what boot I've got on, it draws all that moisture away so your feet don't get cold, but your feet will stay warm. I was like, all right, cool. So I started looking at these prices of the alpaca socks, and y'all know I'm cheap as hell. These alpaca socks for like one pair is like $45, $50, $60. I was like, damn. So I got on Amazon, you know, got me some. Best damn purchase I've ever made in my entire life. And it just, even during duck season, man, like I used to have these heated Bluetooth socks.
Yeah.
And they were fantastic until my feet started sweating, and then my feet would get cold because I'm standing in water. or whatever, but them alpaca socks, man, game changer. So if y'all got a problem with y'all's feet sweating and y'all's feet getting cold, look up some alpaca socks. Cause I'm telling you, man, it makes the world of difference. And then I ended up getting a pair of gloves gifted to me that have alpaca in them as well. I can't remember what brand they are. But I got them, homeboy gave them to me at the NWTF, this year. Game changer. Absolute game changer.
Bro, if my feet and hands are good, bro, I can sit and I can do all day sit, bro.
Absolutely.
All day sit. My mom got me and my brother, one of those battery powered vests that heat up.
Yep. Got one of them too.
Now up in South Dakota, that joker didn't stand no chance. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when it's, you know, 25 degrees outside, I mean, you had joker on high, it's going to last maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and it's dead. It can't keep up. But down here, dude, I put it on low, and bro, I'm Gucci all day long, bro. And then I dress in layers, so that's what helped. You dress in layers, get it on low, and bro, it just sitting there, just cooking you, boy. So I'm like, oh man, I'm warm. I got the I got some, I don't know what kind of socks my mom got me, but those jokers, they keep my feet warm, and now I got some good boots, so I'm Gucci, bro. Like I've figured out how to maximize my comfortability in the tree stand or in my saddle.
Yeah, I mean, fluff alpaca is what they're called. Those they're called. And then I think the socks that I ended up getting were, I think they're called Purely Alpaca, but they, I'm telling you, man, game changers. Like when we go duck hunting in Stuttgart, you know, I'm gonna take, you know, regular socks, but I'm also taking them alpacas too, just in case, because you never know how cold it's gonna get.
And exactly.
I tell people, man, that ain't been duck hunting before, like, that's the coldest that you'll ever get.
Shit, no.
I'm telling you, bro, that's the coldest you can't. I'm telling, like, you're sitting in water or standing in water a lot of times, but like where we're going to be sitting in a pretty nice, like, blind.
Yeah.
But, like if you're hunting like timber, like flooded timber, like we do a lot, man, like you're standing in that water, shoot, it could be 10 degrees outside, man. And you just sitting there freezing.
I know one time I messed up, man. I went with some buddies in college. And they was like, hey, man, go out there and set the decoys out. So, like, all right, cool. So I go out there and no gloves, putting the decoys out, man. And, bro, that was the worst trip ever. I'm like, yo, my fingers, I can't get them back. And they was like, dude, you didn't wear the neoprene gloves? I'm like, no, I didn't know he had any. And, dude, it just ruined my hunt. So after that, I would get those gloves, man. And once I started wearing those, my duck hunting was pretty fine. But as long as my fingers stay good with duck hunting, I'm Gucci.
Yeah, I think I overpack, I guess, for a lot of hunts, especially if I'm going out of town, because I just want to be comfortable and I don't want to forget nothing.
Yeah, you want to be prepared as possible.
Yeah. So, man, it's hunting that's coming up from Stuttgart. I feel like it's going to be a good one. And then, you know, we go out to Oklahoma City, you know, on 27th. It's just going to be one of them. That's going to be a movie. Like, I can't. I've been telling everybody in the world about that shit, man. It is going to be a absolute movie.
Bro, like, the idea. If people don't know what we're talking about, in April of 2027, I'll be hosting the Dreaded Archer Brotherhood Archery Retreat. The name sounds so long, but yeah. it's a brotherhood retreat, and I'm just getting guys that, you know, that I've, you know, met online, of some guys that I've met in person, you know, that love archery, love the outdoors. We're all gonna get together, man, and just have a big retreat where we are talking strategy. We're you know, of course, go out there and shoot, but really just, you know, fellowship and learn from one another. And it started out as a small idea, and now it's snowballed into this, you know, this event that, you know, everybody that I've talked to about it is like, I gotta be there, bro. Like, and the fact that it's so, I started working on it so far out, like people are looking into 2027 and saying, hey, look, going to their job saying, hey, look here, bro, this weekend, I gotta have it off already. You know, I can't miss this event.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to be something that, you know, we'll remember forever. And hopefully it's the first one in it, but it won't be the last. I'm going to start doing this more often, getting guys together and just, and fellowshipping, man. And they say, you know, iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
So we all get together and, you know, somebody might be really good at saddle hunting and got really great, techniques and strategies for saddle hunting. I don't have a strategy. I just kind of get up in the tree. We all can learn from that person. You know, one person might be familiar with the whole, booking a outfitter, you know, the whole process with that. They can teach everybody else how to do all that. And yeah, you can get online and figure all that stuff out, but what better way to learn than with your brothers, you know, somewhere out just chilling. And then what's going to put the icing on the cake, man, actually have a film crew that's going to be walking around with us and filming everything, man. And they're going to kind of make a mini documentary out of it, along with, you know, have other clips and stuff for content. But just show people, like, you know, like, we do this too. This is our, you know, this we hunt and stuff. And not just, you know, when a lot of times when content creators put out content, especially in the outdoors, and what we do is just, it's archery, shooting your bow and all that. But, like, you know, we're going to be putting out, like, people having, we're going to have real conversations, man. Like, this is us, you know, outside of, you know, the social media and the bow hunting stuff, you know.
Right.
This is, we talking hunting, but what it really means to us and how we got started and what we want to, and what we want the future to look like for, you know, other black hunters, you know, after we're long and gone, you know. So it's going to be a dope event, man. I appreciate everybody that's signed up and said they're coming. I can't wait. I literally cannot wait till April 2027.
Yeah, it's going to be dope. Like, I was telling some guys about it, and I said, what I like about it most, I said, it's going to be, you know, 15 guys, something like that. I said, but everybody kind of has their own niche. Like,
yeah.
You know, I said, me and Trey, he said, we, you know, we do the podcasting thing or whatever. And then you got some other guys, like you said, might be good at saddle hunting. They might be good at booking outfitters. They might, you know, be outfitters. And everybody's kind of got their own thing. When you bring all of that to the table, you can learn something from all that, from all your brothers. You know, everybody's got their own thing. And then it's just brotherhood. You know, what better way to, you know, celebrate something like that with your brothers and, you know, get it all on camera, man. So, you know, you can always go back and like, man, I remember this, you know?
Yep.
So I think it'll be super dope. And like I said, I can't wait till 27 either, because it'll be here before you know it.
Oh, bro, I'm already knowing. I'm already knowing. And dude, this is like the first time I've actually had to plan something of this magnitude. And it's only like, you know, 15, 16 people. That's it.
Yeah.
And so, actually having to like plan it, make sure everything goes according to plan, you know, and on paper it will, but we might get there to meet a whole totally something different, and got to be prepared for that. So super dope. I'm you know, shout out to the people that own the Airbnb, you know, gave me an amazing deal on the two houses. And then shout out to Choctaw Archery, you know, he agreed to allow us to come out there and shoot, you know, at the range and stuff. So it's going to be super dope. A shout out to Vortex. They agreed to be a sponsor. They'll be sending somebody out to do a seminar on their binoculars and some of the new stuff they got coming. It's going to be a fun event, man. And I hope that my goal is that everybody leaves better than they came. Not just a better hunter, but a better man.
Right. You know?
So it's going to be dope.
That's what's up, man. So, well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I think we've covered everything that we've probably need to cover. I mean, this is one of them topics we can spend all night on.
For sure.
I said, I just got back from St. Louis. I'm getting kind of hungry. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. It's been a long weekend, but you know, I had to get this one in with my homie. So any last words for the listeners?
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, if you are a you're new to archery or you're seasoned in it and you like to come out to the event, you know, email me, hit me up on social media. If I got an open spot, I might have to make something work for you.
That's what's up, man. Well, so that's all. As always, big game, small game, all game. We do this too. Peace.
Peace.